All right, I mentioned it earlier. It is the NHL draft tonight in Nashville. I like how they move it around. Does that mean can we get a draft? Can we get a draft in Raleigh? It'd be kind of cool.
Right, I like it.
And I think that means you get an award show, too. I know a small theater that we could host it at.
They probably
want a bigger place than the Rialto.
Yeah.
But we're going to get cool stuff. That from what I read, this is a one-player draft. Much like the NBA draft was like a some people were calling it a two-player draft, but I don't hear anybody calling Scoot Henderson or Brandon Miller, you know, a generational talent like Victor Wembanyama. We'll ask Mike Maniscalco if Connor Bedard is on the Victor Wembanyama level of generational talent, but he's going number one. No drama there. The Blackhawks will take him. We'll see if he can, you know, immediately turn a team around. If you want to see the Hurricanes pick, you get the weight of it bit. That's the price we pay for being good. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay? We're not going to be right out the gate with this one.
We got the 30th pick. The question is, can the Canes be or continue to be, as we were talking about, they've been very successful, a team like the Spurs or the Patriots, when they take 30th, meaning a dude that like almost everybody else could have picked, and the Canes pick them, will everybody be like, oh, man, that's a good pick. I should have taken that guy, right? That's when you start getting draft magic. People start looking at every pick you make and like, oh, man, they know something we don't. That's such a smart pick. Speaking of smart picks, 2015, they took Sebastian Aho in the second round. That means every team passed on him.
Yep.
I mean, sometimes some teams don't have a first-round pick, but that's the kind of drafting we want at 30. Go get us a Sebastian Aho at 30, boys. Brett Pesce, third rounder in 2013. Jacob Slavin, fourth rounder in 2012.
Look at him now.
Go find us a Slavin. Go get him. And we got a dude right now, I won't say his name right, Adam Goldwyn, Nikishin, he's dominating in the Russian league, and we'll see when we can get him over here. He just, like, set a record, I think, for points by a defenseman. That's another dude that we drafted not too long ago. Let's see if we can get him. We actually have 9 picks, though. So, again, being very Patriots / Spurs-like, you know you're not, well, Spurs is different now. Spurs is the luckiest team in the world.
Yeah.
Because they, like, win championships, so they're always drafted 30. And then, like, they're bad for 1 year, and they're like, all right, they get the number one pick. It's unreal how that works out. But anyway, we have to do things like the good teams do. The Patriots and now the Spurs back in the day, where it's like, all right, maybe we trade, get some multiple picks lower in the round. We only got one the first round, but we got 8 in the last 6 rounds. So 9 total picks. We got a first rounder, second rounder, third rounder, and then what do we get? 2 in the 5th round and 2 in the 6th round. So we'll see if we can find some gems there. Again, we'll talk to Mike Maniscalco at 1 o'clock about who the Canes might be taking. It's hard to predict at 30, right?
Yeah.
There's just so many things that can happen in front of you.
Yep.
We'll ask him about drafting philosophy and stuff like that. We'll let you know tomorrow who the pick is, and maybe if they're interested, maybe they'll stop by. You know who is stopping by tomorrow?
Who's that?
Jordan Staal.
Yeah, he is.
The captain just re-signed. We'll ask him, do you know who the Canes drafted last night? So if somebody's listening, tell Jordan Staal to pay attention. I'm always curious about the business of stuff like that. You've been in the game a long time, right? I'm sure the first year, or maybe if you're worried about your position on the team, you're like, oh, are they drafting the guy that plays my position?
Take my spot.
But like Jordan Stahl's like, you know, it's just another dude.
Yeah.
He probably won't be in Raleigh for another 2 years. It's got maybe a prospect camp. Mm-hmm. I don't need to learn this guy's name yet. I don't know. We'll ask him. Next up, the man is so good, he's got me talking baseball. I'm, of course, talking about Shohei Ohtani. Sorry. I read it more than I say it, and then come to say it, and you're like, oh, Shohei Ohtani. Struck out 10 people last night and hit 2 home runs. It's just incredible what he's doing. I can't believe he won the MVP 1 year, and then one year he finished 2nd. And it's like, dude, he is pitching and hitting. He's the MVP.
He's doing everything.
That's it. And he's doing them both really well. Listen to the month he is having. We still got a few days left. 2 more, right? Well, 3, including tonight, I think. Hit 13 homers, 7 doubles, 2 triples, .383 batting average, .473 on base percentage, 4 stolen bases, 26 RBI in 24 games, and a .326 ERA with 37 strikeouts in 30 1/3 innings across 5 starts. Unbelievable. You know what? I flippantly said that nobody's working harder than Taylor Swift this summer.
Ohtani
might be the only person. Mm-hmm. When you're pitching and hitting,
you're doing
in
it.
Baseball, like, they want you to sit down. They're like, please, please,
please, go sit. Don't you need some water?
He's like, no. Well, maybe we'll ask Wiley Nickel if he tried to pitch and bat in the congressional baseball game. All right, since 1900, there's only been 6 instances of somebody striking out 10 people and hitting 2 home runs. And Victoria, would you believe I was at one of these live?
Really?
Now, I was not there for Milt Pappas in 1961 or Pedro Ramos in 1963, nor was I there for Rick Wise in 1971. Makes I also sense. Did not see Zach Greinke do it on what may have been opening day, April 2nd, 2019. But on opening day 2017, I was there April 2nd to see Madison Bumgarner of the Giants. That's how I know he was taking on the Diamondbacks. And I know I was there because it was 2017 and I was in Phoenix to watch the Final Four where UNC was playing.
Yeah.
And I was like, what am I going to do during this other day? And sure enough, there was a home baseball game. So
that's
I
awesome.
Went down there and Madison Bumgarner, the pitcher, bashed 2 home runs. Shout out Shohei Ohtani. 10 strikeouts, 2 homers. That's impressive. Next up, forget football. This is ACC country. We got basketball to talk about because not the ACC Big Ten Challenge anymore. It's the ACC SEC Challenge for the first time, men's and women's. And can I complain about the graphic that the ACC put out?
Yeah, do it.
I know that you're repping the ACC, and so you like want to put the image for the ACC team, not the SEC team. But it doesn't tell us, or do they? Are they on the graphic where the games are? Okay, my fault. I missed that. Okay, sorry. So it's just easier to read it if it's like so-and-so at so-and-so.
Right.
We have matchups, though. We do not get Duke, Kentucky. We do not get UNC, Kentucky. UNC will be hosting Tennessee, so Rick Barnes is back. I'm sure UNC fans will boo him, but he's been there like a few times now. Maybe just get over it. Duke is at Arkansas. That should be a fun game, 2 top teams. They've got Miami going to Kentucky, which I guess is justifiable because Miami is went to the Final Four last year, right? Or did they go to Elite Eight? Are they back-to-back Elite Eights or did they go to the Final Four? I can't remember. But Miami, they've had 2 good seasons, so yes, it makes sense to send them Kentucky. But everybody's going to want to see Duke, Kentucky, or UNC, Kentucky. The problem is Duke plays Kentucky fairly frequently in one of those Champions Classics type things, and UNC has a decent number of games with Kentucky, so they won't match them up too much. Or Syracuse, Kentucky. But instead, you're doing Syracuse versus LSU because a bunch of people tune in for Syracuse. You know, you've got Kentucky versus Miami because a bunch of people tune in just because it's Kentucky. Duke, Arkansas, 2 legit teams that both teams will tune in for. Obviously, Duke, the bigger draw. UNC, Tennessee, good matchup there. Virginia versus Texas A&M. Virginia Tech, Auburn, Florida State, Georgia, Boston College, Vanderbilt, Clemson, Alabama, NC State takes on Ole Miss. That will be in Mississippi. Notre Dame, South Carolina, Georgia Tech, Mississippi State, Pitt, Missouri, and Syracuse, LSU. Those are your matchups. But most importantly, we have the designated survivor. Do you know who what the designated survivor is, Victoria?
Who's that?
We started this years ago on Sports Channel 8. Because there's an unbalanced number of teams with the ACC and the Big Ten, as it is currently with the SEC, although that'll change because there are about to be more SEC teams,
mm-hmm.
so then they'll have more people. So somebody from the ACC has to sit out. And at the same time, that show with Kiefer Sutherland, Designated Survivor, was out, where he was like the one member of the he was like the secretary of nothing who just got sent to a random location, and then the entire government got wiped out, so he's now the leader of the free world. The same thing with an ACC team. They usually had a bad year last year, and of course that's Louisville because they were terrible. We have Louisville as the designated survivor. They are not playing. Congratulations.